Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. We're looking at verse 1 today. We'll read verse 1, but we'll actually cover most of this chapter. And thinking about, forget the sermon topic. Just forget the sermon topic. What we're going to do is just study this passage. And what the Lord tells you, be good. Let's just do that. Shall we pray? Father, how we love you and thank you for your love to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your word that you've given to us. I pray, Father, that you have a message for every one of us here today. Please make that message clear for us. It'll be for your glory and for our good. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand for the reading of God's holy word, Joshua 5:1. As soon as all the kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan to the west, and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan for the people of Israel until they had crossed over, their hearts melted, and there was no longer any spirit in them because of the people of Israel. Amen. You may be seated. Well, you think about the children of Israel. These Israelites that were going across that Jordan into Israel, they were probably young children when they came out of Egypt. They were given the law. They wandered in the wilderness and saw parents and grandparents die because of their rebellion against God, not believing Him and His promises. God purified His people. And then He brings them up. And they're getting ready to go into the land of Israel. And now these people are seeing that God is a God who honors His promises. He's not a God that makes promises and doesn't fulfill them. They're actually getting ready to go into this land that God has promised them. And so He performs another miracle by separating the Jordan River as He had separated the Red Sea, and the people go in on dry ground. That's got to cause them to reflect back on that Red Sea experience. And so they get into the land, and God says, I want you to stop as soon as you get over there. As soon as you cross that river, you stop. Now look at what He tells them to do in the rest of the chapter. The first thing He tells them is to circumcise all the males that have not been circumcised since they left Egypt. And that's a pretty significant event there. Because the people are reminded that God made a covenant with them. And the covenant would be that He would be their God. Many nations would come out of Abraham. And He would give them a land. And the sign of that covenant is circumcision. And those people are God's people. And they are seeing God fulfill that in their lives by crossing that Jordan. And then He says, after this, observe the Passover. And you recall that the Passover was instituted as a means of moving God's people out of slavery in Egypt. And they slaughtered that lamb. And they put the blood on the lintel and the doorpost. And when the death angel came through, what was the death angel looking for? He was looking for the blood on that doorpost and the lintel. And all houses that were covered with the blood of the lamb passed over that house, and the firstborn didn't die. So when they celebrated that Passover in this land that God had given them, they'd actually physically moved in. They reflected back on God's deliverance. how about you and me? Let's reflect on what God has done and is doing in our lives. Let's meditate and think about our lives today and how God is fulfilling His promise. And in order to do this, we're going to go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. So turn with me to Ephesians, chapter 1. And we're going to look at two verses here in Ephesians. And that's verses 3 and 4. Ephesians 1, 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. Well, let's look at this. Blessed be. Blessed be. The word blessed there in this context means to exalt the name of God, to praise Him, and to lift His name up. And this is our purpose of worship. One of the purposes of worship each Lord's Day is to give us the opportunity in this particular day set aside by God before the foundation of the world that we should come together as His people and worship Him and honor Him. And part of that worship is to exalt His name in our own hearts. Have you done that today? Have we done that? When we were singing the hymns, did we do that? Or did we stand in silence and not praise His name? Well, I can't carry a tune. So what? I can't either. So we're in this together. But I can praise the Lord in my heart and with my voice that you will never hear. But I can do that. And part of being active in worship is to exalt the name of our holy God in prayer and in song. Why should we do that? Let's go on in Ephesians and see this. Why should we do this? It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, blessed be the God and Father. That's the one we bless. That's the one we exalt. Not the preacher. Not anybody else. We are to exalt our Heavenly Father. And why should we exalt Him? Who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. Now, let's look at that phrase. First of all, let's look at who has blessed. In this context, this word blessed means to bestow favor on someone. Has the Lord bestowed favor on any of us this week? Sure He has. We're sitting here breathing, aren't we? Maybe barely. We're still moving. Maybe not as slow, a little stiff. That's okay, but we're moving. He has blessed us. He has conferred His favor on us. Therefore, we bless His name. How has He blessed us? In the English Bible, it says with every spiritual blessing. Let me give you the Greek in that. In each spiritual blessing. Because it's singular, that phrase is singular, not plural. It would cause us to stop and reflect on each blessing God has given to us each day that we have lived. And so, it's an accumulative. Not only do we bless Him for what He's done in this past week, but the past weeks and the past months and the past years. We gather to worship, to exalt His holy name, to reflect on each spiritual blessing. What are those spiritual blessings? Well, let's begin with forgiveness of our sins. In Christ, as you and I have confessed our sin and trusted in Christ alone for salvation, we are forgiven. You and I have been released from the judgment and condemnation of God that we justly deserve because of Christ. We are forgiven. That's a pretty nice blessing to receive. As a result of being forgiven, we are His people. We are His people. You are the child of the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, growing up, we always talk about what our parents do and the jobs they have. Well, my dad does this, my mother does this. So what? My father's God. What you gonna say? Think about that. Our Father is the true and living God who created everything and sustains the whole world. That's who God is. And we are His children. You can say because of your faith in Christ, I am His child. That's a spiritual blessing that you and I have. He's adopted you. He has personally adopted you and personally given you His name. That's pretty special. That's a spiritual blessing. We have a peace of heart and mind which surpasses all understanding. Deeply in our hearts, regardless of what you and I might be facing, we have this peace because of our relationship with Christ. Regardless of what we're going through, when we stop and focus on Christ, there is peace. There's joy. Jesus says in John 15, I've told you all these things that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. How many of you would say this glass is full? Bunch of pessimists. One. Thank you, sir. In the Greek, that glass is not full. That glass is not full until it's over and running down the side. And when Jesus said that your joy may be full, that you're oozing joy. That you're oozing joy. It's a joy that's based on your personal relationship and walk with Christ. That's joy. That is joy. When the world is going to hell in a handbasket. And it seems like everything, sometimes we think, God, I know you're sovereign, but good night, look at the mess that this world is in. Hey, read Matthew 24 and 25. It's supposed to be in this mess. Read the book of Revelation. We're supposed to be in this mess. But in this mess, you and I have hope. We know that when we die, we will be with the Lord. What a spiritual blessing that is. So with each spiritual blessing, and you have your own list of spiritual blessings of how the Lord has blessed and is blessing you, make you a list. Make you a list of these blessings. Notice that each spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And that phrase gives us the origin of these blessings. These blessings do not come from the church. They come from God the Father through the Son into us by the Spirit of God. They're from heaven. Heaven seems to be some place that's so far removed from us. We know we're going to go there, but while we're here, we just kind of get caught up in this world and we think, oh my, I know it's real. I'd like to have a postcard. Just read John 3:16. You got your postcard. Look at the Word of God. You've got a tome there. It's God's Word for you and me. And it comes from Him. And that's what you and I have. That spiritual blessing. All the promises of God are directly from Him through His Son and into us by His Spirit. And so we have in the heavenly places. Now, in the Greek, the prepositional phrase in Christ comes at the very end of the sentence. And it's what is at the end of the sentence that gets the emphasis. And the emphasis is being in Christ. And that preposition in is limited, which means only in Christ. Only in Christ do we have each spiritual blessing. That God graciously and abundantly bestows on us each and every day. But you know, brothers and sisters, sometimes the cares of this world, the worries of this world, things not being right, things not being fair to us. And if we're not careful, we can get so focused on this world and our problems. And we all have problems. Every one of us in here having problems. We can get so focused on that we lose focus on Christ. And there's where the depression and the oppression comes. But in Christ we have these. We just need to keep focused on Christ. I have to do this all the time. I lose my focus. And I have to look to Christ and be reminded who He is. Y'all know that each Saturday I go to a therapy session either at Home Depot or Lowe's. You know. Well, yesterday I... made a trip to Lowe's. Driving down there and back. Oh my goodness, it was heaven. Because I just started praying going down there and just focused on the Lord. And it was awesome. Y'all had times like that, haven't you? It's not good to be driving because you can get a little fast if you're not careful. But just be so focused on the Lord. And reminded of His grace and His love and His forgiveness. Oh my goodness, it was great. I just pulled up there and sat in the car for just a couple of minutes. That was so nice. That's what you and I need to do. We need to be more focused on the Lord. When our shoulders get so weighted down with the cares and anxieties and the fears that we have in our hearts. And every one of them are real. I'm not making light of those. Those are real. Oh, we need to look heavenward into Christ. And be reminded of who He is and what He is doing for us. Not only what He has done, but what He is doing for us. And then I cannot wait for Sunday morning when I can gather here with all of you as brothers and sisters in Christ in worship and focus our attention on the Lord and experience personally that joy and that peace and that love and that grace and that mercy. That's in Christ. Now, let's go look at verse 4. It gets even better if it's possible. Even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Have you ever thought about that? That God chose you before the foundation of the world? Before He created anything? He chose you to be His child? When I was in grade school. I attended Lakeview School just up the street here. And I remember going out at playtime and, you know, we'd always choose up teams. I was always one of the last ones chosen because I wasn't blessed with a lot of speed. And when I played football in high school, my nickname was Turtle. if I didn't catch you within the first 2 yards, you were gone. You know, it's just history. But I was always last. And I got this inferiority complex. Nobody wants me, you know, and that goes downhill from there. That's the reason I'm warped so badly. It's because of the sin in there. But sometimes we get the feeling like, does God really love me? We can become so lonely and so hurt and so discouraged that that can cloud the reality of, yes, God does love you. And He loved you so much that before the foundation of the world, He chose you to be His child. What a spiritual blessing. That He loved you and loves you and me. That He has adopted you and placed you into His family. Even as He chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world. Now, those of the Reformed faith always take some heat because of this doctrine of election. No one knows who the elect are but God. No one. That's God's business. Our business is to tell everybody about the gospel of Jesus Christ and everybody about Jesus Christ. And that's what we should be doing. The election is God's business. God's given us the privilege of talking to everybody about Christ. And that's what we need to do. And that's what we should do. But He's chosen us to be His very own. And you know what? This thought just hit me. We're chosen for eternity. We are chosen for eternity. That's not a bad deal, is it? You know, some choices you and I make, we're thankful they're not eternal. God chose to love you and me for eternity. That's a lot of love. That makes us very special. Because every one of us in here, if we're honest with each other, with our own selves, we don't deserve that. We don't deserve it at all. But look what God's grace and God's mercy and God's love has gotten for us. He's chosen us for an eternity. Now, with that comes a responsibility. Yeah, we were chosen before the foundation of the world, but why did He choose us? Look at that. Look what He says about why He chose us. To be holy and blameless. To be holy and blameless. Let's look at that infinitive to be. It means to remain in a state or condition. It means to remain in a state or condition. So you and I are to remain in a state of holiness. Of holiness. Now let's define the word holy. That's the next word. Holy. It has two aspects. First of all, it's a quality of persons that can be brought near to God. The quality of persons that can be brought near to God. Now those of you who are good Old Testament scholars and you studied the Old Testament, you recall that when the people brought their animals in to offer as a sacrifice, if that animal had some kind of blemish on it, it was considered unclean and could not be brought into the presence of God for a sacrifice. That definition of holiness holds true for us. We cannot enter the presence of God or brought near to Him when we're unclean, spiritually speaking. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, He will not hear me. So we have a responsibility before God to confess and repent of our sin and to seek His forgiveness. It's not an automatic thing. We have to be very careful to guard our hearts with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. We have a responsibility to guard our hearts. Proverbs 4:23. And so God places us. He separates us from the world. And then it's our responsibility to walk in Christ and to remain in that condition. So there's a sovereignty of God and there's our human responsibility in this. So we're to be holy. The second part of that, that definition of holy would be people consecrated to God. People consecrated to God. I was asked some years ago to join a civic organization. And actually, I was asked to be their chaplain. And I was asked to come and speak to them. And I was given a topic. And I don't speak on topics. I only teach Scripture wherever I go. So when I got to this organization, and I didn't do that. I taught Scripture. I used an illustration that had the subject in it. So afterward, I was immediately asked to be their chaplain. I said, I don't know about that. And I said, what does that require? And they required me to go to this meeting all the time. I couldn't miss one. And even when I was on vacation, I had to find the local civic group, same group to go. I said, forget that. I'm committed that way to Christ, not anything else. So I didn't go there. But we will commit ourselves to human organizations. What about the consecration to Christ? To live a life that is holy. And just think about what it means to be holy. That I can approach the throne of the living God. Of my Heavenly Father. You have that privilege. People say to me, I need you praying for me. Your prayers get higher than mine. I don't think so. I don't have a red phone in my office that connects to the throne of God. You and I have one. It's called prayer. And you and I have that privilege to be brought near to God. We can approach Him anytime for any need. That's what it means to be holy. And then it says to be blameless. That means without fault. Now there are some people who actually believe they are that way. I guess I better go on lest I get accused of meddling here. What does it mean to be faultless and without blame? That literally means that if a charge is levied against you, it cannot be proven that you're guilty. It means that you and I strive by God's grace and the power of the Spirit of God to live a life that's pleasing and honoring to Him, knowing that the flesh is going to kick in from time to time and we are going to sin. We are not perfect. We're sinners saved by grace, but we do the best we possibly can as the Spirit of God dwells in us and moves us not to sin. In other words, another way to say this is you and I will not willfully and intentionally sin. We make every effort not to do that. But when we do sin, if we confess the sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But there's not a willful and intentional sin. And so that's being without blame. That's striving to live a holy life that's pleasing and honoring to God. And we do that because it is an expression of our love to the Lord that we're serious about our relationship with Him. We are very serious about our relationship with Him. And we don't want to grieve the Spirit of God or quench the Spirit of God or restrict the Spirit of God because of willful and intentional sin in our lives. We're to be holy and blameless before Him. Before Him. There's another Greek word that means before, and it translates either before or upon, but this is a different Greek word, and it literally translates in His presence. In His presence.
We live in His presence every day, 24/7.
All of us are guilty of this one. You get out on the interstate or you go through a community, what are you looking for when you start going over the speed limit? And now the police drive these SUVs and cars that we drive and you can't find them.
So we go get a radar detector. Why does a Christian need a radar detector? Would you explain that to me? Never mind, I'm implying y'all have them, I'm sorry. It helps us break the law.
And I don't do this, I'm like each of you all, you know.
But if I live every day with the thought that I'm driving in the presence of the Lord,
and when that person pulls out in front of me and cuts me off, was going too slow, and I have a few choice words and names I call that person, which you probably won't find in Scripture, I'm doing it in the presence of the Lord. That's what it means to live in the presence of God. And boy, when you and I think about that, His grace is magnified. His mercy is magnified because we realize at that point, I do not deserve His blessings upon me. His blessings are an act of His grace and mercy that He wants to give us. He's chosen us for the purpose of giving those to us. And so we live that way in His presence. So we are His people. He is our God. Turn to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Ultimately, my dear brothers and sisters, in Genesis 17, when God made the covenant with Abraham, He said, I will be your God. You will be my people. I will give you a land, and I will bless you. Look at Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people. And God Himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And He who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Also He said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And He said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. That's the ultimate spiritual blessing from God, is to be in His presence for eternity. That's what we have to look forward to. That is the ultimate spiritual blessing that all of us in Christ will experience someday. And we will have it for eternity. And that's what keeps us going now. Brothers and sisters, when we gather here to worship, that phrase back in Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we get ready to sing, we ought to blow these walls out. They ought to be hearing us from blocks around here when we sing. It doesn't matter what the song is. It's who we're praising. It's who we're exalting. It's God our Father. For all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I tell you what, we got to get there. And we will. So I hope and pray that as you go through this day, you'll reflect. You will reflect on God and His faithfulness to you. And each spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus that He's given to you now and what He has for us in the future. But in order to experience that, you got to have Christ as your Savior. Good people aren't going to get this. Come to Christ. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, boy, you come here while we're singing this closing hymn. I'd like to talk to you. Shall we pray? Oh God, our Heavenly Father, how we praise Your holy and majestic name. And we thank You so much for the life we have in Christ. And not just the life, but each spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus that You bestow upon us day in and day out. Father, You've spoken to our hearts. We've been encouraged. And oh, how I pray for anyone here who doesn't know Christ. Oh, that You might work in their hearts. Show them Your love and mercy and Your grace and forgiveness that they may have in Christ. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.